Welcome to WST, your West Coast source for sports. And today, for a Gonzaga basketball update, we have a very special guest. We have Jim Meehan from the Spokesman Review, the Gonzaga beat writer on the show. Jim, thanks for joining.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I know a lot of people are interested in football, but basketball is right around the corner, and Gonzaga is coming into this season with some high hopes. You know, if you look around, they're a consensus top five pick in many of the polls, and some writers and media outlets have two potential first-round NBA draft picks with Zach Norell Jr. and Rui.
Yeah, this has kind of been one of the most highly anticipated seasons they've had here. Maybe the highest. They will probably be in the top five in the preseason poll, and that would break their previous mark. I think they were eighth one year at about 2006, Adam Morrison's last year. They've got all kinds of MVP candidates for the WCC. Could probably make a case for four or five guys at this point, and then a couple, two or three guys that could really fall into some national honors with Rui Hachimura, Killian Tilly, maybe even Zach Norvell, Josh Perkins, all veteran guys, proven guys that have done this before. So a lot of excitement from their fan base as they're closing in on the start of the regular season.
Yeah, they have a deep squad and a lot of returners, but there's some new faces. There's Brandon Clark, a San Jose State transfer who will be eligible. There's a freshman, Philippe, I can't pronounce his last name, from Serbia. And then you possibly have the North Dakota transfer, graduate transfer, and Gino Crandall. I mean, who are some of the new faces that you're most excited to see?
I think one that's going to be a factor right out of the gate is going to be Philip Petrusev, I guess is how it's pronounced. It seems to change every day. But he's a 6'11 kid from Serbia. He played at Mount Berg Academy, the top prep team in the country by most accounts. And kind of a foreign international kid that fits the mold of what Gonzaga has had these last 6-7 years. A stretch guy, a guy who can play inside and out, handle it a little bit. Can shoot it from the outside. They've had such great luck with those kind of players, with Domantas Sabonis and Kelly Olynyk, and even Zach Collins, a 7-footer, had some of that in his game. So I think he's going to factor in as the fourth big behind Hachimura, Killian Tilly, and Brandon Clark, the transfer from San Jose State. They had a scrimmage, kind of an open scrimmage to the public the other day, and Brandon Clark was pretty much the star of the show. He blocked 5 shots in 15 minutes, grabbed 6 boards, scored 8 points, really played well at both ends. And this is an athletic 6'8 kid. Can really, really bounce. He's won the dunk contest the last 2 years here and put up big numbers at San Jose State. So he's going to be a factor inside with Tilly and Hachimura. Those are probably the two biggest additions of the new faces, although Clark was here last year. He sat out under the transfer rules. They got a couple of freshmen, Greg Foster Jr. He's about a 6'4", 6'5", point guard that could be in line to help on the, you know, on the depth of the guard line, a big kid for that size. Kind of a pass-first point guard. And Joel Ayayi is another kid from France who redshirted last year. He's about 6'4", 6'5", has a little bit of a scoring knack, and he could factor in as well. But really everyone around here is waiting for Gino Crandall to see what happens there. It looks like he's on course to finish his undergraduate degree at North Dakota. That would allow him to enroll at Gonzaga for the second semester of graduate school. That begins October 23rd. And he would be a little bit behind in terms of practices. He'd probably miss, so in the neighborhood of 15, 18 practices, but he'd have some time to get up to speed before they open the season on November 6th. A combo guard that can score it, can shoot it, can handle it, and those are things they need. They don't have a ton of that right now without him, so they're really hoping that Geno finishes up and arrives on campus here in the near future.
No, a lot of people are excited to see Geno and can't wait for him to get started. A lot's been made of Gonzaga's front court and their front court depth. Can you talk a little bit about the projected starting lineup and what the bench will look like?
Well, there's talk that they could start the three bigs, Tilly, Hachimura, and, of course, Brandon Clark. And with Geno Crandall not on campus yet, that's probably grown a little louder just because Geno isn't here, and he's a projected starter by most accounts if he'd come on time. So they have a couple of ways they could go. They could go with their more traditional lineup with three guards and then two bigs, or they could go with just two guards and with Perkins and Norvell and then throw those three bigs out there. I think no matter what happens, those three bigs are going to play all in about the same amount of minutes. They're all versatile enough to play different positions. Brandon Clark can play a five or a four. Killian Tilly can play a five or a four. He played four last year, even though he was taller than Jonathan Williams. But Jonathan was a little thicker and stronger and played in the post. So, and then you have Rui Hachimura, who could probably play any of those positions. He's probably a three at the next level, but he's a natural four as well, and he played some five last year. He did probably the best job of anybody on the team guarding Jock Landale, the St. Mary's All-American center. So you've got a lot of flexibility. You've got guys, bigs, that can move inside and out, that they can switch on perimeter screens and guard a guard for a while. And they can also play outside on the offensive end. I mean, Killian Tilly was their best three-point shooter last year. So the versatility, the athleticism of that group would probably rate with anybody in the country. Then you throw in Philip Petrasev is the fourth big. Jakob Larsson decided to leave the program. He's just going to go to school and stay on scholarship for the time being. So they're a little light on depth inside, but with those four, if they can stay healthy, that should be one of the better front courts in the country.
You had mentioned Rui is probably a three at the next level. And, you know, you look at the summertime, that's when most of the work in the gym is put in. You know, what does Rui need to improve in your mind to cement his status as a lottery pick?
Well, the biggest thing I think scouts will want to see from him is the perimeter shooting ability. He's had that most of his life. And been a pretty good shooter beyond the arc. But he hasn't done it so well at Gonzaga. He struggled the last couple of years. Last season, I didn't attempt many three-pointers, but he didn't shoot at a very high percentage. And the year before, he just didn't play a lot. He was stuck behind a great front court that they had on that team. So I think that's what he's put a lot of time into this offseason, the ball handling and the ability to score from the outside, the perimeter shot, because he can really run in transition. He's 6'8", about 235, NBA body, explosive, you know, can score inside, obviously, and that's where they used him most last year. You know, he was kind of a mismatch for a lot of teams, not only in the WCC, but in the when they played in the NCAA tournament against Ohio State and when they played in their major non-conference games. You know, if you had to match up with Jonathan Williams, you had to match up with Tilly, and they played all three together. You know, it was tough to find a third big who could deal with Rui Hachimura. So I think that's what he put his time in. He spent a lot of time on airplanes traveling across the world to play for the Japanese national team, helped them to win four World Cup qualifying games. That you know, that's pretty unprecedented for the country. That's a team on the rise in the national ranks, and Rui is a big reason behind that. So, and he's relied on the score so much on that team. It's not quite the same with Gonzaga with the players he's surrounded by, but I know he's put a lot of time into the perimeter shooting, he's done it in the past, and if he can show that this year, he'll be very high on those draft boards.
Yeah, I know we're all excited to see him take that next step and lead Gonzaga to another Final Four and hopefully cut down the nets next spring. If we move to the backcourt, you know, you've got Josh Perkins, who's recovering from a shoulder surgery. How has that recovery process gone so far?
Well, it's a long process. You know, the shoulder, there's no shortcut on the recovery. It's one of those surgeries that just takes a lot of time, and you've got to keep it immobilized for a long time. So he missed a ton of off-season work. But he did kind of hit all the milestones along the recovery, and in the last month or so, he's been able to get on the court more, to play more, to shoot more. And he's still not really lifting much, so that's maybe the one area where it's going to be slower to come back, the strength and the endurance of playing. And a lot of these guys play rep ball or pickup games, you know, throughout the summer, so they're in great condition. Well, Josh wasn't able to do a lot of that, so that's another thing that's a little behind. But he did play in the scrimmage. He played every minute, and he put on a show in the three-point competition. Him and Zach Norvell Jr. Hit 13 in 45 seconds each, and the crowd was going crazy. So he looked maybe not fully 100% yet, but at this point in his recovery, I think they're thrilled where he's come, and he's going to end up, if he stays healthy, as one of the most productive players in school history, probably be the leading guy in terms of wins, be on all kinds of top 10 lists. So they really need him, especially with Geno Crandall not here. They don't have a ton of ball handlers, and he's really the only proven point guard they have. So they're taking it easy with him during preseason drills, and trying to keep him, you know, not only involved, but a little bit rested and primed for the rest of the season, because they're going to need him for the rest of the go.
He's been a consistent force in their backcourt and someone that provides stability. If we look at his backcourt partner, you know, Zach Norvell Jr., a dynamic guard, you know, what type of growth can we expect to see from him this year?
Well, Zach was huge for the Zags last year in that he just had the knack for hitting the clutch shot and the big shot time after time. He did it more than anybody on the team. And you factor in that he was a redshirt freshman at that time, that's impressive. But he has enormous confidence in his game, maybe as much as I've ever seen any kid come through. He truly believes every shot's going to go down. It doesn't matter if he's missed the last five or made the last five. Has the confidence to put it up and make it. So I think his role will be very similar to last year. You know, he can score it, and when he gets into one of those scoring runs, he'll put up 15 or 20 and a half. He can score it inside and out. I think that gets a little bit lost with Norvell, as he creates pretty well. He's very good on the ball screen, and they need that. They need that playmaking ability, because that's something they don't have a ton of elsewhere. And he's very good off the ball screen, a very good passer. And when he gets in the open court in transition, it doesn't matter if somebody's under the rim or not. He did this numerous times last year. He's going to try to dunk it. Doesn't matter if it's a 6'10 center under there. He's trying to flush the ball. So
yeah, you got to love that fearlessness.
Yeah, he does. Kind of like Pargo used to. Jeremy Pargo would do that here. But His biggest priorities in the offseason, I think, were probably on the defensive end. He came a long way in that area. And then just kind of to refine his ball handling, some elements of his offensive game, and then off the court. I think, you know, he's a guy who's been through the battles and produced. I think he's going to be looked to for a lot more leadership, a lot more talking in the huddle, a lot more getting guys in the right spots. He's one of the veterans as a redshirt now, redshirt sophomore, and a ton of ability in Zach Norvell, who should only get better here this season.
He's a dynamic player, like I mentioned, and I can't wait to see him in action and the whole team together. So a couple more questions, and I'll let you go. First question, what has to go right for this team to advance and make it to another Final Four?
Well, number one would be staying healthy. Josh Perkins needs to play in 35 games or whatever it is. You know, they have three outstanding bigs in Tilly, Hachimura, and Clark. But if you lose one of those to injury, you're already thin. And so the staying healthy is the biggest thing. That's always been a key. You look at their team that went to the national title game a couple years ago, that team stayed pretty healthy throughout the season, including Shemek.
The sky's really the limit for this team. They've got all the components, but I do agree with you. It's going to come down to health and chemistry, and they're going to need Perkins in that backcourt. If we look beyond this year into next year and the year after, can you give us a little update on recruiting and what recruiting looks like for the Zags?
Well, it could look a lot different after this upcoming season. Rui Hachimura is projected as a first-round pick and often a lottery pick. Killian Tilly is a guy who could work himself into the first round. Zach Norvell might have some of those draft ambitions as well, maybe even Brandon Clark. Then you lose Perkins, and if they get Crandall, you'd lose him as well. That would be a whole new roster coming back the following season. So they had started to add already to the 2019 class. They've got a couple of guys. Anton Watson from Gonzaga Prep is about a 6'8", 3 or 4 man, really shooting up the prep rankings for the top 100. He's in the 50s usually. Versatile big. Will get bigger and stronger here. He's during his senior year. Got a kid named Brock Revay from Kittitas High School. It's a 2B school kind of in Central Washington, and he is an outstanding shooter, averaged about 30 points a game last year, real long range. He shoots it from 23, 24 feet regularly, and so he's coming on board. They signed a 6'6", kind of three-man overseas kid, much in the Tommy Lloyd recruiting pipeline. He's the Zag assistant who's really got them into international players the last 10, 12 years. A kid named Martinez Arlauskas, a very skilled player that has done a lot of international competition back in his homeland. So they've got three, and they're already working on a few more. It could be a huge class just based on what returns and what leaves from this team this season. So they're after it pretty hard because that roster could have quite the changeover.
The one thing consistent about Mark Few is he always reloads. He doesn't rebuild. So I'm sure he can restock the pantry and get those recruits coming. And he's a great coach and he can make anything work. So the sky's really the limit for Gonzaga this year. And I expect them to continue that run as long as Mark Few's on board.
I think a lot of people do. That's one of the reasons this has happened. The players, the recruiting, the facilities, the resources have all gone way up here. But the first thing everybody points to is the continuity of the coaches, the coaching staff. Tommy Lloyd's been there almost as long as Mark Few's been the head coach. Brian Michelson, Donnie Daniels, or the current assistants, they've been here for quite a while. Before them, Leon Rice, Ray Giacoletti, Billy Greer, those guys were, longtime assistants. So that coaching continuity and the continuity of the system itself, one of the big reasons why Gonzaga has become a player on the national stage.
Yeah, they're exciting. They're no longer the Cinderella team. They're expected to make it. They're expected to be a top seed. And a Sweet 16 year is sometimes not a great year. It's crazy to think of Gonzaga like that, but that's just how dominant they've been.
Yeah, they've had such a great run here. I think they're the only team in the country with four straight Sweet 16s. And if all goes right this year, they will add on to that and make it five.
Yeah, let's hope so. Well, thank you, Jim, for taking the time. We do appreciate it. We always like to get an update from the Pacific Northwest and hear more about Gonzaga. So thanks again for joining the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Well, that wraps up our show. A big shout out and thank you to Jim Meehan from the Spokesman Review. The Zags are definitely going to be a force to reckon with, not only in the WCC, but on a national stage. Hopefully they don't beat up on my Broncos too bad. But look for a WST flag. We'll be coming up to the kennel. We'll be watching some Zags basketball. Stay tuned for more episodes.